Let's continue with our discussion on 7-7. We're asking, really, what have been the changes in policing? Has the terror threat increased over the last 10 years? And are the authorities in better placed to really counter that threat? Stephen Greenhalgh, Deputy Mayor of London for Policing, is with me here in the studio. Let's talk to Sadiq, who's in Ilford. Hello, Sadiq.
Hi, good evening, Ian. Ian, just look, I've got to be careful what I say because I don't want to tread on the sensitivities of the victims and their families whatsoever, and that's not my intention. But I do worry that we, by commemorating it in such a high-profile manner, glorify and glamorize such atrocities, such crimes, and I just wonder whether we immortalise, these people and make it, you know, attractive for strange people that would want to do something like this. You know, it's a very thin line. We've got to be very careful. I just wonder.
I think you've actually put it rather well. I think it is an interesting question. I think on a 10th anniversary, I think it would be a little odd if people didn't talk about it, didn't think back to that day and remember the people that died. But let's see what Stephen Greenhalgh thinks. It is an interesting point, isn't it?
Well, yes it is. I mean, getting the balance is critical. But I was at the service in St Paul's, and I thought the words of the Bishop of London were very poignant, and he said, "Render to no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honour everyone." And I think that hit the right tone. He reminded us that London is a world city, the ocean of pain suffered by the 52 people that lost their lives and their families, the ocean of pain felt by the families, and they were very young people from all over, and very often from different backgrounds, different religions or faiths, and none. So I think we hit the right note, but you're right, we need to make sure that we don't glorify this.
It's interesting, Sadiq, isn't it? Do you not think that it actually helps the families? I'm sure that in some ways they were dreading this day, because it does bring it all back. But we heard from somebody earlier who had attended one of the services and said, well, there was a community feeling of the victims' families. They all obviously shared a terrible experience, and they could all help each other out. So I think today has actually done a lot of good for them, don't you?
No, and I agree with that. And I think if it was privately done, and it could quite comfortably privately be done and whatever, but without such media coverage and whatever, I just worry, my only thing being, is some misguided youth or somebody who feels that they want their name up in lights for, you know, a completely misguided and completely abhorrent reason. And it glory, and, you know, it almost glamorizes such a horrific, horrific crime.
Interestingly, Sadiq, I think there is a counter to that, in that today we've all been talking about the victims and hearing from some of their families, so we know a lot of their names. I haven't heard anybody today mention the names of the perpetrators.
I hope not.
Okay, Sadiq, thank you very much indeed for that. Stephen Greenhalgh, is there a case to be made for strengthening the powers of the security services and indeed the police, especially in the light of Peter Clark's comments that the authorities are stretched to the limit?
Well, in the briefings that I get from the head of counter-terrorist policing, they're not looking to increase their powers, but what they're worried is with the advance of technology that their powers have been weakened. So I think there's always going to be this debate about the balance between security and freedom, and that is a proper debate. It's a debate that obviously Parliament has to lead on. But I'm all for ensuring that the powers of the security services and the police are not degraded, and that whatever legislation is required is put through as quickly as possible to ensure that we are kept safe.
What about increasing the numbers of police officers and indeed the numbers of people who work for the security services, rather than concentrating on maybe increasing the powers?
Well, I have been lobbying about this, and I'm very concerned about the balance of funding and the balance between the security services and police, counter-terrorist policing. So, for instance, I know from the single intelligence account that the budget is twice the level that we spend on policing, and when we had the increased money of about 130 million, very little of that went directly to policing. And I always felt that was the balance was wrong, and that we needed to recognise the role of policing in fighting terror. So when we look at Tunisia, that happened just a few weeks ago, there are 600 police officers involved in that operation, maybe only 20 out in Tunisia, but they're taking 1,000 witness statements. They have to do all of the work of family liaison with the families. Obviously, the bodies have come back now to West London. The inquests begin, inquiries. It is a huge job of work for the police. So my biggest concern is that when we have this increased threat, that we give proper funding to our police officers.
I mentioned earlier, you're standing to be the Conservative candidate for London Mayor. You will have observed what the Labour candidates have been saying over the past few weeks. Tessa Jowell, who we'll be talking to a little later on the programme, she obviously was around at 7-7. She was in the cabinet. She's got huge experience in these matters. You've got experience in these matters through your current job. Is that going to be your major appeal, do you think, in the mayoral election, comparing and contrasting your experience with that of your fellow candidates?
Well, I think having a track record is important. And I started my career as a leader of a council. I've spent 4 years in City Hall. I think that is important because then you know how to get things done. Politicians can easily make glib promises that they will do this or that. But actually, I'm leading on a desire to make London less expensive, to cut tube fares by 3% year on year.
But on policing, sure.
I mean,
is it going to be one of your campaign promises to increase the number of police in the Metropolitan Police and in counter-terror police?
My pledge on budgets, because we've got to remember the amount of money that police have to save. It's 800 million between 2016 and 2020. We'll have saved 600 million in the first term that I've been involved in City Hall. That's a huge ask. What I've pledged to do is to protect neighbourhood policing. And I've been able to do that by saying I'll ring fence the money needed to ensure that we have more police officers in neighbourhoods. But equally, it is quite right and proper that we lobby for enough money to carry out the additional burden that we face on terrorist policing.
In effect, what voters want to know is, under a Greenhouse mayoralty, will there be more police or fewer?
Okay. Under Greenhouse mayoralty, I will not pledge a specific number at this point until I know the budget that I have to play with. But what I have pledged is that we'll have more police officers in neighbourhoods, not less.
OK. Fewer, I think.
Fewer.
Grammatically.
Fewer. Grammatically.
That's a big bugbear of mine.
Sorry,
right,
fewer.
Let's go to Ahmed, who's in, if that's the only thing I can nitpick about. Let's go to Ahmed, who's in New Malden. Hello, Ahmed.
Good evening,
Hi.
Ian. Thank you. Yes, I think it was very important to remember the bombings of 7, a victim of bombing of 7-7, yes. Also, I think we must also remember that this horrific act, barbaric acts, were carried out by homegrown terrorists. And these homegrown terrorists, the faith and community they belong to is one of the largest in the UK. And I won't name it just yet, but I think everyone knows, where these terrorists, homegrown terrorists, they belong to a large community, which is, that's where the problem is. The radicalization is happening there. Police can only do so much, but I think we need to continuously tell all this particular community, especially...
I don't know why you're being so shy. We all know who you're talking about.
Obviously, these are Muslim and Pakistan. Especially, that is where they were they were from.
But that was the most shocking aspect of this, wasn't it? That it was the first time that we'd ever experienced homegrown terrorism. That wasn't, obviously the IRA were homegrown, but in this kind of thing where people were effectively subscribing to a warped version of a religion and being brought up in a perfectly normal way in this country, having a British education, being born here, and then they would go and do something like this. It was something that shocked us all.
Yes, because they are constantly told that if you kill non-Muslims and so on, yes, non-believers, you will go to paradise, and with all the other trappings of paradise and so on, which are misguided, of course, we know that. But these people, they are being told this by the clerics all the time.
Ahmed, thank you very much. Quick comment from you on that, Stephen.
Well, it's true. We've got to get into the mindset of people that injure themselves and injure others. I think that's absolutely right that we do that in order to tackle it. Well, I've been at a conference today in Waltham Forest, and we need to recognise that if it can't be contained in the home, then we need our local public servants, people in the NHS that are involved with mental health, or those children in care, so social services, and other agencies to come together to dare to and also in schools, that we begin to share the information needed to tackle this and prevent it from happening in the first place.
Stephen Greenhouse, thank you very much. Stephen is Deputy Mayor of London for Policing. In 15 minutes, we will be listening to Tessa Giles.